You're listening to the Kingwood United Methodist Church Contemporary Sermon Series led by Reverend Chris Harrison in Kingwood, Texas. Thank you for downloading.
As we were singing that song at the 9:40 service, as the Spirit was resonating inside of me, and I just got to thinking, you know, if you and I really accepted that song to be true, I mean, how many times do we sing something and we're just singing along because everybody else is singing along? But if we really accepted, if we really believed, if we really had faith that that song we were just singing was true, that in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that all has been overcome, how would we live differently than the way we live right now? How would we face the things that we face? The situations and challenges that we face? Would we have a greater sense of strength and assurance going through them, not by our own volition, not because of our strength, but because we're leaning into the one that we just sang has overcome all of those things? I have to believe that it was that kind of spirit that as Kingwood United Methodist Church was forming up, as the Kingwood community was being built, that there was a group of people who said, this community needs a church. This community needs to establish a church early in its life where we will come and we will worship and we will proclaim week after week after week that God is risen and that he is on the throne and he is to be glorified. I don't think they had any idea who we'd be right now, but it didn't matter. They just knew who God was calling them to be then. And so this group of people, some of whom, as we said earlier, are still worshiping with us, came to form a community of faith. And we found a bulletin from the very first Sunday that they worshiped. It was Palm Sunday in 1972. And here's a quote from the bulletin that I know I'm going to hang on to for a long, long time. This is what it said, Palm Sunday, 1972. On this first worship service of the Trailwood Village Methodist Church, we gather in a spirit of thanksgiving. The seeds planted today will grow into an active arm of the church. Long after we have gone, this church will live on as a witness to the kingdom of God in this community. All we have to do is water the seeds in the years to come. That's beautiful right there. Because what did they do? They watered seeds. And there's fruit. What do you and I have to do? Keep watering seeds. But it's just exciting today to get to celebrate what they offered of themselves that would live to us. And really very early in the process, they knew that just creating a worship space where people would come would not be enough. Very early in the formation and chartering and pulling together of what would become Kingwood United Methodist Church, they quickly adopted the Bordersville community as a mission field. They knew very early in the process that service was an integral part of being a church. And along these 45 years, we've done amazing works of service following God where he would lead us. What do you do if you're a person that's convicted and convinced that that last song is true? How do you sing hallelujah in your life? Well, one of the ways that I did that recently was going to Tanzania to serve in a medical mission team, all the while going, I'm not a doctor, what am I going to be doing there? One of the fun things I got to find myself doing there was working in a lab. I used to do this, I don't know, about 3 or 4 lifetimes ago. I did almost pretty similar to that. And so on a day when we had a lab tech that didn't show up, they're like, well, who do we have that could possibly do that? And I was like, yeah, I guess that's me today. It was amazing to get to be a part of that. So one of the things that I wanted to do today was I wanted to share some of that trip with you, because in many ways you came with us, Not just because we were both trying to listen to the same World Series, but because you were there with us in your prayers. You were there with us, and you know, when we started dreaming this, even before I got into the picture, back in 2016, this trip was being planned and envisioned. And a year ago on Advent, during the Advent season, we asked you to give of yourself generously to help make this trip a possibility, and you did. You gave $27,000. And that's the money that we used to do the work that I'm going to get to celebrate. So you came along in beautiful ways. And I'm here to really let you know that what you gave of yourself then and what you continue to give of yourself now, not one thing was wasted. And the work will continue. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. Let me tell you a little bit really quick about the area where we went. We were in Kigoma, Tanzania. It's on the shore of Lake Tanganyika. And the capital of Tanzania is Dar. I don't know why I'm pointing, because there's not a map there. But the capital's Dar, and Kigoma's over here. It's 650 miles from Dar, the capital, to Kigoma. You might think, that's not a bad Thanksgiving weekend. We can pull that off. But when you don't have a car, and most everybody walks or rides a motorcycle or a bicycle, that's a long, long bus ride. It was even a three-hour plane ride on our two-prop plane that we crossed that distance with. But there on the shore of Lake Tanganyika, a ministry has been built over the years, since the late 80s, and it's called Join the Harvest. Lowell and Claudia Wirtz are the missionaries who direct and guide that ministry. And we have been engaging with them for lots and lots of years here at Kingwood United Methodist Church. The Tanzania area is incredibly poor. In this picture, the guy back behind me, the picture we were already on, the guy right below Habari and Jema, by the way, Habari and Jema, that's Swahili for good news. The guy right below it, you can see just the bottom of his lab coat, Seleman Mideho. He works full-time in a hospital as in their laboratory. Full-time, he makes $10 a month. That's his salary. Can't wrap your brain around that one, can you? Me either. So the people that we were seeing were not even as well off as he was. Most of the streets are unpaved. Most people rent homes. They're little one-room, two-room, mud brick. As we were flying in, we could see a lot of them were getting metal roofs instead of thatched roofs. Very, very impoverished area. We also learned as we were there that, especially the area we were in, Tanzania is about 40% Christian, 40% Muslim, 20% still tribal, but the area where we were was a lot higher Muslim percentage than that. So we were seeing a lot of Muslim people in the ministry that we were doing. They were pretty reserved, the people were, but when you shook their hands and said, Habari Asubuhi, like Harabi Busahari or something, and they'd smile and laugh and correct you and move into the day with you. Really a delightful people on many levels. Last note about the church. The church, Christian church, is primarily Pentecostal in nature over there. There's about four Methodist churches in Kigoma, including a startup that we went to in Ujiji, right close to there. The First United Methodist Church in the capital, Dar es Salaam, we helped to construct. Kingwood United Methodist Church helped to construct that church in Tanzania. Lots of interactions over the year with this region. So let me take you around the clinic for just a minute. So here's the team. I've said in the other services, just be glad we're smiling. This is like after we spent 12 days on an airplane. It was really only two. But that was after a lot of flying when we were finally arriving at Kigoma. So, Karibuni Kigoma, welcome to Kigoma. A special note, you may see some faces that you recognize. These two Kenyan women, one's a medical student, the other one's a nursing student, Teresa and Jane. They had come down with one of the doctors from Kenya to join our clinic and get some practical experience as well. But there we were as we were starting the clinic. Go on to the next one. So This clinic was set up. It's not an all-time standing clinic. I don't think they've had a clinic since we were there 3 years ago. So we just come in periodically and establish this clinic for them to help out people in the area. There are clinics in the area, but if the rich people are making $10 a month, well, not rich people, but full-time working are making $10, they can't even afford to go to the clinics they have there. Okay, next slide. So after they would get registered, they would go down to this waiting room. What's a clinic without a waiting room? I mean, come on. So they would all come down to this waiting area, and the sign in the back says something like, United, we serve in the body of Christ. And so this is not just a group of Christians. These are Muslims, Christians, neither of the two. They're all sitting and watching a Swahili version of the Jesus film. Pastors are talking to them. They have opportunities to interact. And then we would go get some of them, and they would take them to the next place, which is the triage area. And so we'd get vital signs and get them prepped and ready to see a doctor. They would go and see. We actually had a couple of Tanzanian doctors who worked with our team. You might recognize a couple of those faces. And then let me show you the doctor's offices. Pretty swanky. These are literally flat sheets on safety pins on wires to create these little cubicles that the doctors are meeting in. At the far end of the picture, there's a big box fan that's sitting on the floor. There's no air conditioning. That thing's blowing, so you can imagine how loud that was. There's two broken ceiling fans. And so that's where people went to see the white doctors, the American doctors. After they went and saw the doctors, next one, they'd come back often and see us in the lab area where we would do some basic lab tests. They'd go back and see the doctor again based on those results. And then we would send them to the Dawa, the pharmacy. Then you can see back shelves were stocked. Stuff we take for granted, right? I mean, you go to your pantry and grab a bottle of ibuprofen, you know, or cough syrup, or eye drops. We ran out of eye drops fast. They get antibiotics and avoid stuff that could be major infection for them. But they would go there and they would receive the love and the attention of our pharmacy crew, and that would be kind of how they would process through the clinic. Now, we went Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We rested Sunday, kind of except for that tour of Mwenge. And then we went Monday and Tuesday, so 8 days. Is that right? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday. 8 days of clinic. There's no exact number. We'll never get one. But we saw between 1,600 and 1,700 patients. We worked 8 in the morning till about 7 o'clock at night most nights. We worked hard. But there was just so many people for the 1,700 we saw, there was 170,000 more that we couldn't see. So we were as determined as we could to see as many as we could and really pushed ourselves in many ways to do that. Now, if that's the end of the story right there, to me, that's a cool story. I mean, that's a cool story. You take this whole medical clinic to Tanzania, you set it up, and you see 1,700 people. That's an amazing story. But there's so much more to the story than that. The rest of the story that I want to tell you started when this missionary pair walked onto the grounds. And I'm not sure why at that moment I was crossing the grounds. But I was, and they came up, and, you know, these are obviously people who haven't been there. And so I said, Karibu, Habari Asubui, how are you? Who are you? Gina Lakwana. And so they said, well, we're missionaries in the area. They were from an evangelical church, and they said, we're so glad that you are here healing bodies. We are here to heal souls. And I thought, all right, it's time for a theology lesson with these guys. Now, if I would have had Hal Hagee's Bible with me, like I do right now, I would have read him these verses that you're going to see from Matthew chapter 4. Naye alikuwa, akizunguka katika Galilea yote, akifundisha katika masinagogi yao, na kuihubiri habari jema ya ufalme, na kuponya ugonjwa, na udhaifu wa kila namna kitaka watu, na habari zake zikaenea katika shamu yote, wakamletea wote waliokuwa hawaweze, walioshikwa na maradhi mbalimbali na mateso, wenye pepo na wenye kifafa na wenye kupooza, akawaponya. Jesus didn't see healing of the body and the good news as separate things. He knew that they went together. And that's what we were doing in that clinic. We know that the way to Habari and Jema, the good news, is also by working. In fact, to change languages, the Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O, is the root for healing and salvation. These things go together. So the work that we were doing there was not just the work of giving somebody ibuprofen, but to give them the good news of Jesus Christ, like this person. This beautiful woman with her Down's child. She came and her spirit just irradiated. She sang a song over and over that I have on my phone. I can show you some other time. And as she was sharing her knowledge and her joy out of the good news of Christ, we were doing the same thing. Look at the next picture. When the people came in for care, we just didn't write them something on a script pad and send them off. Our doctors were praying with them. Our doctors were offering them hope and something that they may not get in other ways, the love and joy of Jesus Christ. We were doing the work of healing the body, but we were also doing the work of offering them Christ. And that work, my friends, in cool ways is still going on. Because you can imagine, think of somebody who came to the clinic and got antibiotics for the first time in their life. I mean, we got on a plane and left, but 7 days later, they're going, whoa! They're feeling a healing touch on the side of their body. And who are they giving glory to? Not that doctor who's praying for them. They're thanking God for sending somebody that would offer them that kind of healing touch. And so that work is ongoing. We have this whole stack of referrals of people who need further attention that we couldn't give at the clinic at that time. Some of that money that you generously offered, some of the money that we didn't use to get there to buy for all the medicines and everything. By the way, every team member paid their own way. Whatever money is left, we're sending back to Joy so they can do those follow-up things so that they can help continue to treat people. That work goes on. We're back home, but the work there is going to continue to go. If that was the end of the story, that would be a beautiful story. But the work didn't just get done in the clinic, just as the work of Joy in the Harvest wasn't restricted to the clinic at all. This is a destitute camp. Did you hear what it's called? Destitute camp. Destitute camp in a destitute country. These are the poorest of the poorest of the poor. Many of them had leprosy. Many of them, their families couldn't take care of or wouldn't take care of. And so we went and we sang with them, and we spoke with them, and we gave them a bag of food, and they smiled, and they offered their love to us as well. We also spoke the good news at a widow's camp. You may have seen this one from something I posted on Facebook. Look at the colors. It's a widow's camp. They have no support. Just like the destitute people, they're living on next to nothing. At that destitute camp where we were, they grew a root that I keep forgetting the name of. Kachichi? Kacha? I'll think of it in a little bit after the sermon. They would pull this root up. They would sunbake it, bleach it in the sun. They would grind it up into a powder, add a little water, make a little paste in a ball, and they would eat that. Zero nutritional value. It just helps their stomach feel full. And they grew that everywhere. Somebody earlier said, why didn't they grow something different? And I said, well, they could have, but that kept their stomach full for a lot of days. If you grow one sweet potato there, that's only going to help you for that long. Can you imagine filling your stomach with something that's just a filler? And that's it. These women, boy, they could dance, couldn't they, Mary? When they worshiped, it was all body worship. It was a drum and shaker boxes. And as you can imagine, being my shy, reserved self, I had trouble joining in until I got the drum. But they were dancing and singing. And one of the songs they were singing is a song that I'm going to share with you for a minute. It's a simple song that I've now butchered two times. But it's a simple song that's sung over and over and over. Mambo sawa sawa. Oh, I got the right key the first time. Mambo sawa sawa. Yesha kiwa inzini. Mambo sawa sawa. Mambo sawa sawa. Mambo sawa sawa. And what this song says, it's going to be okay. Things are getting better. Because of the third line. Because Jesus is sitting on the throne. And these widows who are destitute and nothing, we're singing this song with boldness and joy. It's not like I learned this song from some place of privilege who can say, oh, everything's going to be better. No, these were people who were totally dependent upon the truth of this. Who could sing, mambo sawa sawa, mambo sawa sawa. Yeso kiwa nzini, mambo sawa sawa, mambo sawa sawa, mambo sawa sawa. If you're feeling adventurous, try one time. Mambo sawa sawa, mambo sawa sawa. Yeso kiwa nzini, mambo sawa sawa, mambo sawa sawa, mambo sawa sawa. That third line, we never caught it either. I had to get it, had it written down. It's going to be all right. I don't know. I don't know how you need to even hear that today. But I was taught that by some destitute people in Tanzania. I'm never going to forget those words. It's going to be all right. Not because I can pull it out. Because I don't have to. Jesus is on the throne. That's good news. A barring jamma. We also got to share that incredible good news of joy that they shared with us in the feeding center. And 300 kids came together. This is what they ate. Big plate of beans and rice and a banana. It's a big plate, too. It's about that big. That's their meal for the day on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I don't even know how their little tummies could handle that, in all honesty. But while we were there, they had a devotional. They worshiped. The leader, he goes, hallelujah, and they all holler, yeah. They're praising God. They're praying. They come, and they go through that time of worship, and they get that food. So would you be that thankful over a plate of food like that three times a week? A bar in Jema. They need the good news of Jesus. It's an amazing story. So when you learn that, you got to spread that. I started this with, what do you do when you become convinced of that, right? So one of the things that Lowell has worked really hard to do, Lowell works as an old ham radio operator. And so he knows that this good news needs to be told to everybody. So they've started a radio station, Radio Joy. They're working on getting going. It's going to be kind of his legacy. But they're bouncing it up to a mountaintop antenna, and they're broadcasting it to millions of Tanzanians. 24 hours a day, good news of Jesus Christ. And they've brought community government, local government on board, Muslim imams on board, Christian pastors, because it's the only radio station in the area. And so they do public service announcements. They do all kinds of stuff and say, hey, go to the radio. You're going to get a little bit of Jesus Christ while you're there. But they're broadcasting the good news throughout the country. I love this sign that was over at Lowell's house. Obviously, I had to take a picture of it. We, the unwilling, led by the unqualified, have been doing the unbelievable for so long with so little, then we now attempt the impossible with nothing. That's not the kind of statement you make on your own strength. That's the kind of statement you make because you know the good news. That mambo sawa sawa, everything's going to be all right because Jesus is on the throne. And so if we're going to keep watering these seeds that those people started watering 45 years ago, this is how we do it. I mean, what's the next impossible thing that God's drawing us to that we can't achieve except by the fact that he's the one that's in control and he's the one that's drawing us there? It's a different kind of dependence. It's a different kind of worship. It's a different kind of giving ourselves over to what God is trying to do in our lives through Jesus Christ. And I don't think it was just a lesson that I was supposed to learn and leave in Tanzania. I think they're words for all of us, all the time. Jesus is in control. He's on the throne. Whatever we're facing, from the day that we were born, from the day my soul was saved, my lighthouse, it all comes together in Christ.